fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and continuing to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in this amazing time of the church year. I love the rhythm of the church gives us, the whole liturgical year, and this is the high point, the celebration of Christ's victory over the powers of sin and death. And then we move together through these amazing readings that we get each day from the Acts of the Apostles. It's interesting, there's a combination of both the first reading each day at Mass, we get a section from Acts, and in this week, there's a lot about St. Paul and the radical nature of Paul's conversion and how the Lord called him. It's a beautiful story to follow because the kind of things he says, the word he preaches, the clarity with which he teaches, there's a lot for us to be able to take in ourselves. We hear clearly through the words of St. Paul the core of the gospel message. What's the central truth proclaimed by the church, even to this day? What's the proclamation we want to make to the world that we live in right now? And Paul's words are so helpful and so clear. And then we see in Paul the total dedication, the radical nature of his conversion. When he encountered Jesus Christ, the risen one, the Lord, on the road to Damascus, he was radically and totally transformed. And the Lord touched his mind and touched his heart and enabled him to see Christ risen and to draw out the implications of what that means for us and what that means for the whole human race and the opportunity that the human race has to be able to share in the majesty and the glory and the power that St. Paul saw and beheld in the person of Jesus. And then Paul tells us and shows us as well the cost of following the Lord, that the words Jesus said to the apostles, he said to Paul, and he says to everyone who seriously wants to follow him, that there's a price to pay, that we're living in a world of fall, in a broken world that resists God and resists the reign of Christ and his kingdom. And those who identify with Jesus and those who walk with him and most radically obey him, they too will experience the resistance of the world. And along with these readings from Acts of the Apostles, each day this week there's excerpts from the Gospel of John, the beautiful teaching of our Lord about really the commandments, the heart of it all, the love of God and the love of neighbor, and Jesus calling and exhorting us to that and promising us the gift of the Holy Spirit that will empower and enable us to be able to love God and love neighbor the way we're called. I'd like today just touch on yesterday's reading a little bit from Mass on Sunday, Acts chapter 9. We get a, and then I'll jump to today's readings as well, hopefully before the program's over. Just a beautiful setting here. Here's St. Paul now. This is after his conversion in Damascus, and he's on his way back to Jerusalem after a time away. And the last time people saw him in Jerusalem, he was right there at the stoning of and the martyrdom of St. Stephen. He threw his coat down in agreement that he ought to be martyred, and then he left Jerusalem with the papers in hand to go to Damascus and to arrest and to do the same thing to other believers, other Jewish converts, believers in Jesus as Messiah. So here's the reading today. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. I think that's why they were all afraid of him, right? The last time they saw him, he was one angry character, and he was ready to arrest them all. He said that not believing that he was a disciple, it was difficult for them to believe that he somehow now was a follower of Jesus. Then Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles, and he reported to them how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenists, and they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him on his way to Tarsus. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. I just want to touch on a few things here. So he's back in Jerusalem, and he's now encountering the apostles and the other disciples as his brothers and sisters, as opposed to people he wanted to arrest, blasphemers and criminals in his eyes. And they have a hard time believing he is who people are telling him and who he's claiming to be. And Barnabas stands and gives testimony to the fact that St. Paul or Saul has clearly encountered Jesus, that his conversion is real, and that he's called really himself to be an apostle. In Acts chapter 26, Paul gives an account himself of the conversion that Barnabas is referring to here. It's Paul on the road to Damascus. And many of you are listening, I'm sure, have heard this. Maybe all of you have. But let's review it just a bit, because it's very powerful. In that revelation, Jesus reveals Paul's calling. That happens a lot in people's lives. That is, when moments of conversion and initial transformation into Christ and initial encountering of him, we often experience his profound love, his forgiveness, his call to us to become his disciples. And then it's interesting how often, at least I've seen in my own life and the lives of many people, really all over the world that I've worked with, that in some of those initial encounters with the Lord of deeper conversion and moments of being touched by the Holy Spirit, one dimension of it is a revelation and a sense or a sign from the Lord of some way in which he wants you to serve him and how he wants you to serve him. And that's what Paul experiences here. So Paul's on his way to Damascus, and this light overtakes him, really, and he falls to the ground, and this voice speaks to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It hurts you to kick against the goads." And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting." So Paul, or Saul, was a man of faith. He was a Pharisee. He was a radical and a strong Pharisee. So he believed in God. And so he knew he was encountering the Lord, encountering God in some way. And he said, "But who are you?" And Jesus reveals to him who he is. He said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And there's a revelation for Paul right there. And Paul's thinking, "Lord, how can I be persecuting you?" And he's persecuting Jesus because Jesus is so intimately and completely united to his followers, to his people, to those who have been baptized into Christ. When we're baptized into Jesus, we become part of the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of a new body and a new race of people. He's completely identified with us. He lives with us. He lives in us, and we share his life, literally. He gives us a participation in his own life. And so he gives that revelation to St. Paul, and St. Paul will never forget it. It'll be clear in his teaching throughout the rest of his life, the rest of his letters in the New Testament. We'll see it. Then Jesus said to Paul, "Rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose." I always imagined this to be almost like a new birth for Paul. It certainly was, but here he was stridently making his way to Damascus, self-righteously committed to going to arrest those who became followers of Jesus. He was determined, he was focused, he knew what he wanted, and he thought he was completely in the right, and that's what he should be doing. He encounters Jesus, and Jesus knocks him down. The light of Christ knocks him down. And he literally, it will find, is blinded, and he can't get up until the Lord commands him to get up. He leaves Jerusalem under the authority of the Pharisees and the Sadducees to arrest the disciples, but he's stopped by Jesus. He's laid low by the Lord. He's humbled. And then by the command of Jesus, he stands up a new man, and he's going to stand up under the command of Christ now. He's going to transfer from the kingdom of whatever he was following to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly, the religious leadership at the time, according to Jesus, was resisting the will of God. And Paul was in that resistance to the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus marks him out. And you'll see what happens here. This is so beautiful. He said, "But rise and stand up upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose." So Jesus is going to reveal now to Paul the purpose and the call of his life. He said, "My purpose is to appoint you to serve and to bear witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you." So I want, Jesus is saying, "I'm appearing to you because I want you to bear witness to what I revealed to you, the revelation that I give to you." And he'll reveal himself to him further, Jesus says, and that he intends for Paul to bear witness to what he sees. He said, "I will deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." And Jesus sends them now. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. That is, those who are not Jewish. And he says in verse 18, "And I send them to you to do what? To open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." That's a simple summary of what is at the heart of evangelization and what it means with the coming of the kingdom of God. When Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is at hand," there's a new power. The kingdom of God, the true kingdom, is present to break in and to break the hold of the reign of sin and death and the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this is what Jesus goes after. He said, I want you to open their eyes because they can't see. What can't they see? They need to be turned from darkness to light. They don't know where they're from. They don't know why they're here. They don't know where they're going. They don't know the true God, and they don't know the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior. That's the light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. And then he said, to free people from the power of Satan and to bring them into the power of God. That's what Christianity is, a transfer of kingdoms. It's living under the dominion of darkness and being brought into the dominion of our Lord Jesus Christ, living under a new reign, a new kingdom, a new power. He said, for this reason, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is such a loaded passage. Jesus reveals the heart of it all to Paul. He said, you'll bring them from darkness to light. How? By the forgiveness of sins. Everyone is born into sin, is under the reign of sin. Everyone has collaborated and cooperated, connived with sin at some way in their life, that resistance to God, to God's command, to God's will, to God's purpose, plan, and design. And he said, bringing forgiveness is what breaks us from the chains and the dominion of darkness and brings us into the kingdom of God. That's what needs to happen. Sins need to be forgiven. It's not just a choice of human will. It's not something we drift into, but it's something we acknowledge that Christ came and died on a cross so that our sins may be forgiven and could break the power of sin's hold on us and the devil's claim over us because of our conniving with him in sin. And Jesus intends to bring people not only to forgiveness of sins, but to bring them into a place among the sanctified, those who are set apart for God, the community of believers, and those who are with God in heaven. And how does that happen? By faith in me. By faith in me. So Paul will teach that very powerfully. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2, that this grace, this mercy of God comes to us by faith in Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It's God's gift. It's God's gift. So it's a beautiful, beautiful witness. So Barnabas is testifying to the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem what he saw and really Paul's story. And then this section here ends so beautifully. So the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was now at peace. It was being built up and it walked in the fear of the Lord. This is a sign of a healthy church, that it's being built up and that the baptized, those who are believers in Jesus, they're walking in the fear of the Lord. That's what St. Paul had. St. Paul had a deep and profound and healthy fear of the Lord because he encountered Christ. He encountered the one, the Almighty Lord, the God and glorious one. All power and authority belonged to him. And Paul just was not going to cross the Lord. He was not going to return to the life that he had, but he was going to serve the Lord. And then Paul knew, it says here, the consolation of the Holy Spirit, which is what caused them to grow in numbers. That's the Christian community, friends, right? Filled with the fear of the Lord, built up in love and living in the consolation of the Holy Spirit. That's what God intends for you. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.